الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم، أولئك هم الفاسقون. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة، أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله، وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. آمنت بالله، صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أما بعد، laws and rules are made very easily and written very easily and listened to very easily. In whole of the world, the countries of the world, they have some kind of laws, there is some kind of rules which has been outlined fundamentally to safeguard the property and the life, freedom and honor of the people living in that land. No country's laws say that you should go rampant and kill people or loot people or dishonor people. But people are, including ourselves, doing that in some degree. So this means that it's never and not enough to know what's right and what's wrong. Also, this case is with the Quran as well. The same Quran and the rules and regulations were revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we have and which the Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhim ajma'in had. They also had the same Quran, but rather many of them, they only had few parts of Quran, because the Quran was not revealed fully in their lives. And either they passed away, or they were martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like in the Meccan period or Medinian period. So this means that they didn't have even whole of the Quran. They didn't even have whole of the ahadith which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about after their death and after their passing away. Some of them only lived for few years, and they had few years of the sohbah and companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Some of them even lived weeks in Islam with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of them lived days and instances. But still, as we know, that their iman and their character and their status is so high. While spending less time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, less Quran was revealed, less ahadith were heard. So what is that they had and we do not have, apart from the physical appearance and physical existence of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? This also shows that a lot of work in this day and age is done upon transferring knowledge to people through media, through television and books. But then people think, why people's lives are not changing? The people's lives are still mostly the same, but rather they are becoming worse in many cases. The fundamental mistake is that they thought that if we pass on the knowledge of what to do and what not to do, right and wrong, and people will act upon it. They just assume that people are just going to act upon it. And that is not true. As I gave you the example of the rules and regulations of every organization, every country, there are people who are not following it, people who are following it, people who are just not paying any attention. So what is it that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam created in the Sahaba Rizwanul Alihim Ajma'in, and also people followed, who followed really, even though they had heard less of the Quran, less of the Ahadith? One thing is that they didn't take Quran and treated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam seerah as an entertainment, like many people nowadays do. Why? What I mean by entertainment? Entertainment means, let's say you've seen an episode of a film or drama, and it's played again, it's played again, three times, four times. Many people will watch second time if it's very interesting, maybe third time, and after that they will lose their interest. What's this? This is called entertainment. Yes, I have seen it. Or the other example is that you read a book or magazine. It's very interesting for you to look at it and read it. One time you read, second time, third time someone gives you to read it, fourth time, you will lose interest and you will say, I've read it. I've seen it. I have read it. I've seen this episode of film or drama or cartoon or whatsoever, or the movie, whatever the person is. I am giving you the example of entertainment. Songs, similarly, there are songs. People, when they hear a song, new song, they become very excited. And then after 1 year, 2 years, if they've listened it a few times, their interest is gone. And now they say, we've already done. This is entertainment. And unfortunately, many people, many Muslims amongst you and me are treating Quran and Sunnah and the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as entertainment. Whenever someone says, never in once in a lifetime, the Sahabi of Rasulullah SAW said, I have heard this, the teaching of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before. Never Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala when He revealed maybe the same verse of Quran 20 times, more than 20 times. Like for example, many of the verses of Quran are repeated 100 times, many 50 times, many are more than 30 times. I give you an example of, for example, in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And it's repeated all through the surah. And then there is in a Surah Al-Qamar, another surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated various times, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. That we have made Quran easy to take reminder from, to take guidance from, to take nasiha from it. Is there anyone who will take heed from this Quran? So this verse, like Surah Ar-Rahman, in the فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, is repeated all through the surah. Never did the Sahaba, never did the Prophet ﷺ say to Jibreel, Jibreel, you've already revealed this verse, you know, it is coming again. And we and you, remember, me and you, I'm speaking about people who have this attitude, who don't have, they are free. Remember, when I speak, I'm mainly speaking about myself, on people who aren't like myself and have those attitudes and behaviors. Not others, so no one should mind. The attitude which we are having is of entertainment with Deen and Quran. One person, yeah, I've heard this lecture again. This is entertainment. I've read this book again. I've heard this story again. This means you have come for the wrong reason. You come for the wrong reason and you are right to say what you are saying because you come for entertainment, and entertainment needs new episode and new things, and the deen does not provide entertainment, but it fulfills the need of the person for guidance. So, if you want guidance, you have to come out of this mindset of being entertained, and enter the mindset of manifesting practically that guidance, living out that guidance in your heart, mind and body. That's where you judge yourself from. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometime would say to Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala an, who was one of the Qurra Sahaba rizwanullah, meaning great scholar of Quran and reciter of Quran. Great reciter of Quran. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say to Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala an, that recite Quran. And he, Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala an, will say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has been revealed upon you and you are saying, recite Quran, you want to listen from me? Rasulullah SAW said yes. So this means that even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was listening again and again, and many of the Sahaba Rizwanul Alayhim Ajma'in, like Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who finished the Quran in two nawafil during the night. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah, people like Tabi'in and Taba Tabi'in, who will finish 61 Quran in Ramadan. 61 Quran, and their way of reciting was also with understanding and with concentration. This means that they weren't doing it for the sake of numbers or for the sake of entertainment, but to receive guidance, hidayah. So that's why you saw that guidance and hidayah in their life as well, in their speech and in their behavior as well. And me and you coming for the wrong reason, first of all, for entertainment and shame. Otherwise, what the Prophet has mentioned to the Sahaba when they met him and he taught them path to Allah, that was sufficient if they acted upon for guidance and they were guided people. Like I gave you the example, maybe not here, but in the khutbah of Jummah in Urdu and other places also in English, that the 10 verses of Suratul Mu'minun, Suratul Mu'minun, the Prophet ﷺ said, this surah, these 10 verses have been revealed upon me, whoever will act upon them, he will go into Jannah. He will go into Jannah. He will enter paradise. The surah of Suratul Mu'minun, the 23rd surah of Quran, has 118 verses altogether. 118. So this means 10 you can enter Jannah with if you act upon it. What are the other 108 verses for? What are the other 108 verses? The other 108 verses are for reminding, encouraging, developing love and passion and fear in the people, and the energy and nourish their motivation. Because like everything needs motivation, nutrition and energy, similarly motivation also needs that. Many people think it will just come. If your body does not get the nourishment from food, you will feel lazy, lethargic, tired, and then say to the other people, why I am, I know I shouldn't be feeling tired, but I am feeling tired. Well, by just saying that, you shouldn't expect yourself not to be feeling tired. I shouldn't be feeling tired. I know it is wrong to feel tired. I know it is wrong to feel lazy. But because you are not taking the food and water in, you will feel. Definitely you will feel. Because the body needs that nutrition of food. Similarly, motivation, meaning the willingness to do good deeds, the willingness, the power to abstain from bad deeds, the passion to get up at the time of tahajjud or get up at the time of fajr, meaning having the willingness and the thirst and the want, the motivation also need nutrition. What is the nutrition for motivation? Is it just knowledge? No. Knowledge you already have, mashallah, that I should do good deeds, I shouldn't do bad deeds, I should go work towards akhirah and try to succeed and go to Jannah. There are some people who don't know even, yes, they can be informed, like non-Muslims, other people who are just definitely straight. But the majority of the people, they already know that, and especially Muslims, and what they need is now the power to carry out what they know. And they're not doing it. They're feeling lazy. I'm not praying. I'm doing this, etc., etc. Why they are feeling like this? Because their motivational nutritions have died down. They are not giving any nutrition for their motivation, so that's why it will die down. What's happening with them is that they only know where to go, which is Jannah and Allah's pleasure. They know where to go and they know how to go in the path to Allah, in the tariq al Allah. But these two things are not enough. They don't have the power to go there. That's their problem. They don't have the motivation, the willingness, the eager, the shauq to go. So where will they get this? They are going to get this from constant reminder of the reality of dunya, constant reminder of the stories of Anbiya alayhi salam, constant reminder to reading or listening to the majalis of dhikr, constant reminder, continuous, persistent and consistent reminder of actually death and paradise and the accountability on the day of judgment and the hell and the lifestyles of the pious and their ends and the lifestyles of the impious, rebellious and their end, how they are going to end their life and what their source is going to be, and constant reminder of the creating the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and constant discouragement of kufr and sin. Unless they can keep up with this constantly, they will suffer. That's these people who come to the mashayikh and the teacher saying, I am missing my zikr. Well, I cannot do zikr instead of you. I am missing prayer. I cannot pray instead of you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَجِّرُ. Allah will never change the condition of the people until they change themselves, what is within themselves. So this simply means that you are not either reading the Quran with understanding, you are not, at least not even as for our people, meaning the people who attend these gatherings, they are not listening to the speeches all through the week, the discourses, the majalis of zikr of Monday and Thursday and Friday and Sunday and Wednesday and Thursday, etc., etc. They will fall back, they will suffer, they will be lazy, they will feel lethargic, and they are destined, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, also in the hadith as well, that these people, meaning who are lazy, and they will end up in hellfire, most of them, because of laziness. And laziness have a cure, and the cure is constant feeding of speech and reminder of what? Hell and paradise and other things in the reality of dunya, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the life hereafter forever, the temporal nature of dunya, the reward of the good deeds, the punishment of the bad deeds, and the stories of the pious and awliya Allah, and the stories of the drug dealers and gangsters and pharaohs and zanis and sharabis, alcoholic and druggies, how their life is, how their life ends, how it affects them and their family and their relationship. You have to keep constant reminder of that, a cocktail of that. Only then your motivational level will keep up, and you will be able to do what you know, what you should be doing. Otherwise, unfortunately, so there are people who don't know. That knowledge can be transferred in one sitting to them, what they don't know, what is their objective, what is their purpose, what is not their purpose, how they should achieve it, in 1 hour it can be given. But this motivation, as I said in the Surah Al-Mu'minun, if we divide the 10 verses at one side, and 100 verses, or 108 verses are there for motivation, 10 verses tell you what to do, and 108 are empowering you what to do. So this means the proportion which we need, you can imagine, is about 10 and 90%. 10 to 90%. That if it is 100% guidance, 10 is the knowledgeable part of it and acting part of it, and 90% is the motivational and reflection and encouraging part of it. So this is the one point to bear in you. Never treat the deen or the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran as an entertainment. And sign of entertainment, I mentioned to you, is When you hear it second time, you say, I've heard it. That is entertainment. This is your need. It's like food. You eat bread every day. You eat roti every day. Or actually whatever, fish and chips. Every day it's a normal food for you, a major food. Rice every day. Some people are used to rice. Some people bread. Some people chapati. Whatever it is normal. Every day they eat. They don't say, oh, Wednesday I eat, or now today I'm eating roti as well. Friday I'm eating roti as well. Because that's not for entertainment. They are fulfilling the need. Entertainment is like dessert or an extra food, for example. They have an extra, starter or something. That is like entertainment to make them feel good or pleasure. While the roti or the bread is the essence, is the need, that will be every day there. And saying that. And not to take that and not to eat that and say, I've just seen before. You are hungry? And the bread and the rice come. Yeah, I've been seeing them 10 years now. Finish. I'm not going to eat. And after 2-3 days, you're lying on your bed, energy less, saying, I am dying. I am lethargic. What about the bread? I've been eating 10 years. You know, I've been eating. I've seen too much of it now. Well, that's the thing that the person should know, that this is not entertainment, this is his need, and if he will miss that, then the most important things are which are come to you again and again constantly. Like you breathe the air. You can't say in one day or next week, I breathe enough oxygen, I want another gas now. Why you don't say this? Because if you close your mind, don't breathe, and you will be out of breath, and as though you are actually killing yourself. Similarly, a person, iman, and the presence of Allah is like air. The sunnah of Rasulullah is like the air you breathe. And once you suffocate your life from it, spiritual death will inevitably happen. Spiritual weakness will inevitably come. And then saying, oh, I am suffocating, I can't do good deeds. Well, that's you. It's your own work of your own hands which you have done. Similarly, water, you can. Entertainment is like a refreshment water. Yes, I want Coke, I want this drink. They are entertained. But water is your need. You can't say, water come every day, and I actually, you know, I've drank enough, I've seen enough water. There's 1/3 of the dunya is water. I don't want it now. Finish. When you will feel, as someone said, they were given water to them, and they said, actually, water is for bathing, not for drinking. Give me some juice, give me some Coke, etc. You have this type of attitude. Obviously, whatever the water gives, you will suffer from this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seerah, his life, for example, many people have made films on it. Many people have made dramas. Many people have written books of the seerah. And people, me and you, are treating it like a story of some great leader or a story of some other thing as an entertainment story, as we read in the book story that say, yeah, I've read this. The seerah is not for that. The seerah is there to transfer the qualities of the Prophet ﷺ and transferring that seerah in your life. When you can see the reflection of the Prophet ﷺ's teaching in your life, that's the purpose of it. Not that, yes, I've read it. People can read many things and they can do. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll say three things from one of the great companion of the Prophet ﷺ, and then we finish. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an karamahu. This is nasiha. And this majalis are for nasiha, remember. Gathering, the zikr is for motivation, knowledge. If you want to know the way, how to do it, sit after for half an hour, 1 hour. That can be taught very easily to you. But these motivational part is the great part which people are missing. Even laws of lands, they are written very clearly. This is the law, this is how people should be. People are not. Because they need motivation, they need encouragement for doing that. They need a sense of accountability for that. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the caliphs, fourth caliphs of Islam, the husband of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, radiallahu ta'ala anha, the father of the prince of paradise, Imam Hussein and Imam Hassan, radiallahu ta'ala anha, the father of Sayyida Zainab, radiallahu ta'ala anha, the sister of Imam Hussein who was with him in the Karbala. So imagine the knowledge which this luminary and super, you may say, human being, extraordinary person, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imparted to him, and the knowledge which then the Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhul kareem taught to his disciples and his sons as well. So once he said to Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein, Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, imagine that he is Prince of Paradise, how great pious man he was, how great knowledgeable person he was, and how a man of wisdom he was, a man of piety he was, a person cannot even know, unparalleled beauty, resembling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his body, in his voice, in his walking, and the son of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and the son of the lady Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, who is the leader of all the women in Jannah, Sayyida Nisa al-Alameen. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to his son, I give you three advice. Now if the son was like me and you, he would say, Father, I'm already Prince of Paradise. Well, you know, what more advice you want to give me? Stuff. That's how nowadays attitude are. Yeah, I already know that, you know, Imam Saab, or father, or tea, I already know that. What do you want to tell me more? This is the bad attitude. This is entertainment attitude, rebellious attitude. These people never benefit. A person is always need of guidance. That's why in you are standing in the salah, standing in the prayer, then what are you saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every rakat? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. You are seeking, you are already in the prayer, but you are seeking guidance from Allah. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Even prophets and anbiya are standing in the prayer, they also say ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Hidayah and guidance, everyone is in need of. So how, if and once the time when you feel you don't need guidance, that is the time you have started coming astray and away from guidance. Because the guidance is light and misguidance is darkness. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to Imam Hussein, Hussein, remember three things. And I am telling you attitude of Sayyidina Imam Hussein with respect and honor and awe of his father. He was just humbling before him and said, Father, it is a great blessing that you have privileged me to give me nasiha and reminder. This is attitude. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to him, Hussein, Hussein, my son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, I reveal a secret to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleasure, his happiness, the diamond of his pleasure, his happiness is hidden. He has hidden his happiness in good deeds. But you don't know in which good deed the happiness and the pleasure of Allah is hidden in. That is the point. That is the secret we say in Ali radiallahu anhu said. You see, that is the point. It's a very, very subtle plus a very, very important. Because there is one deed in your lifetime, you will get opportunity of that. If you do that one deed, it will be sufficient for your forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased with you. But where it is, like Shab-e-Qadr, like the night of Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, or it is will be in Ramadan, it will be in the 10 last night with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but it is hidden in the 10 nights. So you have to search in the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and then you can attain it. And if you do guesswork, you know, I'll do it on 27th, maybe it is 21st this year. If you do on 20, maybe it is on the 23rd this year. So, but it is hidden in those 10 nights. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, like there is Laylatul Qadr,
the night of power, similarly, there is diamond of the pleasure of Allah as well. And where is that? It is hidden in some good deeds. In some of the good deeds in your life. Can be in prayer, it can be in helping someone. You never know. That's why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, do not consider any good deed light. Do not leave any good deed thinking it is only a small one. It is only an inferior one. It is only an optional one. Maybe that is the good deed behind which there is pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hidden for you. Like for example, I say, like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave the example of the one of the women of Bani Israel who did not have good behavior. She was dancing and doing things like this. But for her, she was Muslim. She was doing good deeds as well. But for one of the good deeds in which Allah's pleasure was hidden for her was quenching the thirst of a thirsty dog. And she never knew that this is the deed which is actually will make my destiny. So she saw a thirsty dog, and somehow with effort she quenched the thirst. She brought the water and fed the dog with the water in this warm, in the hot weather, was at least dying with thirst. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave that woman, and he became pleased with that woman. She became a person of Jannah. So imagine, she didn't know. She will know on the day of judgment. But it was like that. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to Sayyidina Imam Hussein, and through him also us, that oh people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, his happiness, you are his happiness, you have everything. You have everything. You become king of both worlds, really. And that is hidden in good deeds. That is why awliya Allah and the Sahaba, Rizwanul Ajmain, and the Prophets, they taught that pursue that pleasure in good deeds. Some prayers, doing all kinds of good deeds. You never know where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to become pleased with you. There will be one moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that's it, I become pleased for you now. With forever and ever with you. And then there you are. Sayyidina Imam Abu Hamid Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi did many, many good deeds. Very enormous good deeds. He was a great scholar who gave great speeches and wrote great books and did mujahida for whole of his life, and even knew when he was going to die, he did his own ghusl, he put his own coffin on and said to his family, go out of the room, I'm going to leave the world now. And when they came inside, he had left actually. He wore his own coffin. That was the type of person he was. That's the piety status he reached. That knew his death, he prepared, he did salatu nawafil and put on coffin and did ghusl and put himself on the bed and said to his brother and family, go out, and there we are. They come in and he left. So this type of person who spent 10 years in mujahida and 2 years in seclusion in one of the minarets and wrote very, very famous book like Ahya al-Alum and Kimya-i Sa'adat and many, many books. So when he died, some other saintly person saw him and asked him that what happened to you in Akhirah? He said, I thought I had done good deeds, major good deeds, and I will be blessed through them. But I was not blessed through them, but there was something else which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted, and with that amal he accepted all my amal. And that amal was even not in the furthest corners of my mind that I have done it, or it is such a great, great good deed. And what was that amal? He said, once I was writing a book, and in ancient time they used to dip their pen or qalam into the ink, and then actually liquid ink. So the water was there, ink was there. So he said, once I was writing, and on the tip of my qalam there was water, and one fly sat upon the tip I was sitting and just sat there to drink water. And I withheld writing the work of Deen, the book which I was writing, for 1 minute or few seconds or 1 minute or so. I withheld so that the fly can drink the water whatever it wants. And he said, it never was in my mind all my life that even I've done this good deed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal said, O Ghazali, you had mercy upon my one of creations. And I became so pleased with you because of that amal, I accept your all other amal because of that. And you're forgiven. That's what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is saying to Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, that try to understand this secret. That's why we are why the Sharia says do this good deed as well, this good deed as well, this good deed, the Umrah, there is Hajj, there is Zakah, there is Nawafil, they are helping the people. Because Allah's pleasure is hidden in somewhere there. And if you tap that button of good deed, you will find that treasure. That's what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So he said, son, never belittle, or you may say, think small or inferior of any good deed. Do it with passion. Maybe this is the one. It is like numbers from 1 to 1,000,000. And say that if you press any of them, this one number, if you press, you will achieve millions pounds. But you never know which number it is. So you are asked to press here and there and keep on, and alhamdulillah, person achieves. That's the promise of Allah. Yes, I promised that my pleasure is in good deeds. Now you search it from where it is. Like say Rasulullah said to the people of Badr, because some objected on one of the people of who participated in the battle of Badr, which was very difficult battle. Muslims were 300, the Kuffar were 1,000, nor the Muslims went to fight as well. So it was a difficult situation. They didn't have swords to fight, they didn't have horses, armory, not even enough food. Very difficult situation, middle of the desert. But they stood their ground and helped Allah's deen. And after that, they have high status. And someone had criticized one of them, some other people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it might be that Allah looked at the people of Badr and said, I am pleased with you. From now on, whatever you do, you are forgiven. Maybe that is their status. So Rasulullah s.a.w. was indicating that sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become pleased with the person without his knowledge because of a good deed, and you never know. Second thing which Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, he said, son, the displeasure of Allah, the anger of Allah, the wrath of Allah is hidden in the bad deeds, in one of the sins. You never know which one it is. So don't consider any sin lightly. Don't think this is minor sin, because maybe that's the one which actually will destroy your destiny forever and you will be condemned to hellfire. You never know. Like Rasulullah s.a.w. said in one of the hadith again, one woman who kept a cat tied and didn't feed the cat nor let it go free to find its own food, and the cat starved to death with hunger. Although that woman was Muslim and she did many other good deeds, but the Prophet ﷺ said she was actually thrown into hellfire because of that one bad deed, because the displeasure of Allah was hidden there. So this is sometimes people say that, you know, that woman was forgiven, another one to feed a dog. Shall I feed a dog as well? And I will be forgiven for you. The pleasure of Allah might be in serving your parents. It might be in picking up, like Rasulullah said, one of the men from the previous ummahs, he was walking along a path and a branch was sticking out on the path. A thorny branch was sticking out on the path, and he actually cut that branch, or actually turned that branch out, the thorny, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiven for this reason. Imagine how light that amal is. So this is one of the secret wisdom which Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is revealing to Imam Hussein and through him to us. which many people don't know. That is why you find the awliya Allah, they are always doing, trying to even smallest good deed they will try to do, and they will try to avoid sins, with no matter it is in the smaller sins or other sins, because they know it might be this one. So, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he said to Sayyidina Imam Hussein that Allah's wrath and His displeasure is hidden in the bad deeds. Don't consider any lightly. Maybe that's the one which you will destroy. It is like a person who says, let's say in this place, there are so many musallas or so this area. This area have a mine somewhere. Don't step on. A mine is somewhere there. So obviously the area has been cordoned and the mine can blast and destroy your life. So the wise person wouldn't say, yeah, this, it seems it won't be here. It seems it will be here. This guess is very dangerous. The wisest thing is to not even go there, just be on the other side of the good deeds. So sins are like mines. If you step upon any sin, maybe the displeasure of Allah will actually be there. Like shaitan, never it came to him to his wildest dream that he thought, I've done millions of sajda to Allah. If I don't do one sajda to Hazrat Adam, it doesn't matter. It's not so big business. It's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not say anything to me. I've done millions of sajda and hundreds and thousands of years of worship of Allah. If I don't do one sajda to, not to Allah, but to Sayyidina Adam, it's okay, it doesn't matter. But he never knew that that is the point. That is the one bad deed. That is the one sin which had the wrath of Allah, infinite wrath of Allah hidden behind it. And when he did that, it was unleashed upon him. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La'nati ila yawmiddin. Cursed are you, cursed of me upon you until the day of judgment. Forever he has been cursed. Now this shows our attitude. It's okay when we say, no, it doesn't matter, I'm not hurting anyone, I'm just, you know, taking one sip of alcohol or actually one cigarette of drug. It's okay, I'm not doing anything. Maybe that is the point for you. Maybe that is the sin for you which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you responsible and will be displeased with you forever. You never know wherever it is. So that is why if you knew that like death time, people could prepare it. You can just target that one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden that one so that you keep on searching all your life, doing good deeds, good deeds, good deeds. You will also encounter that as well and you will be forgiven. And if you keep on safeguarding from the sins, you will never encounter the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is something, the second thing which Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said. And the third nasiha which he gave to Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala, he said, my son Hussein, Allah's friendship, His wilaya is hidden in people, in Muslims, in people who are following Sunnah, people who are following the deen, meaning they are Muslims. Allah's pleasure is Allah's wilaya, Allah's friendship, that Allah is wali of, that people are awliya Allah, someone is a wali. But Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, this wali, wilaya is hidden in people. Aapne farmaya, ke Allah ki wilayat jo hai, wo logo mein chupi hui hai musalmanon mein. Kisi musalman ko bhi hakeer na samjha. Don't belittle any Muslim. Don't think inferior of any Muslim. Because maybe the wilayat of Allah is hidden in him and you don't know. Like shaitan, if he knew the nabuwa of Allah is hidden in Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the friendship of Allah is hidden in this body made of dust. It is dust, but the nabuwa and the bilayat of Allah is hidden. He would have never done that what he did. He thought it is just a dust. I am fire. It is just a statue of mud. It doesn't matter. I don't. Similarly, if you think this Muslim, he doesn't look pious. Oh, it's okay. You are belittling him and joking about him. Maybe in the sight of Allah, he is a wali of Allah. And then what happened to you? Then what you have earned? If you have belittled him, then what you have earned? If he was a wali. So Sayyidina Ali said, You never know, Sayyid Imam Hussain, the vilayat of Allah, the friendship of Allah is hidden in Muslims. Don't belittle anyone. Don't think inferior of anyone by looking at their good deeds. Sometime the vilayat friendship is hidden in them, it will be exposed at one stage in their life. Like many of the awliya, who became awliya, firstly they were thieves, they were robbers, they were alcoholics. But after that, the vilayat was hidden in them. In one point in their lifetime, they became high-ranking awliya, that other awliya actually seem and they feel honorable to be attributed to them and to sit with them. And similarly, the Sahaba, as you know, many were not Muslims, but they became so high-ranking. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to Imam Hussein, that beware of belittling by doing ghibat, by joking, by belittling, by using ill words toward actually Muslim, thinking of him inferior. You will actually, one of these things is going to happen, that if he is a wali of Allah, he might be, then you are destroyed. You have had it, meaning you destroyed your akhirah. This is, so very, very briefly, in Urdu, I will say, سیدنا علی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ نے فرمایا اپنے بیٹے امام حسین سے کہ حسین اللہ کی رضا کبھی میں do a detailed بیان in Urdu as well and one day but very briefly I mentioned مختصر بات اللہ کی رضا نیک عمال میں چھپی ہوئی ہے تمہیں نہیں پتا کس نیک عمل میں چھپی ہے تو کسی بھی نیک عمل کو چھوٹا نہ سمجھنا حقیر نہ سمجھنا چھوٹا عمل نہ سمجھنا کیا پتا اسی سے تمہاری بخشش ہونی ہو یہ اللہ کے علم میں ہے کہ اللہ کی رضا تمہیں اسے اور فرمایا کہ اللہ کا غضب اللہ کا غصہ اللہ کی ناراضگی گناہوں کے اندر چھپی ہوئی ہے گناہوں کے پیچھے چھپی ہوئی ہے کسی گناہ کو چھوٹا نہ سمجھنا کسی گناہ کو حقیر نہ سمجھنا کہ یہ تو کچھ بھی نہیں ہے کیا پتہ وہی گناہ ہو جس سے تمہاری آخرت دنیا تباہ ہو جائے اور فرمایا بیٹا حسین اللہ کی دوستی اللہ کے مسلمانوں میں چھپی ہوئی ہے اللہ کے بندوں میں چھپی ہوئی ہوتی ہے ولایت کسی مسلمان کی بے عزتی نہ کرنا کسی مسلمان کو حقیر نہ جاننا کیا پتہ ہے وہی اللہ کی دوستی اس میں چھپی ہوئی ہو وہ اللہ کا ولی ہو اور تمہیں نقصان ہو جائے کہ وہ تم نے اللہ کے ولی کی بے ادبی کی جو کہ اللہ سے اعلان جنگ کے مترادف ہے دیٹ از وائی آئی واز گیونگ این ایگزامپل ان ڈینمارک ایز ویل ٹوگیدر ون آف اور مشائخ اینڈ گریٹ اولیاء سید احمد کبیر الرفائی رحمہ اللہ سیدنا احمد کبیر رفائی گریٹ ولی آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی فار ہوم رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ٹک آؤٹ ہز بلیسڈ ہینڈ فرام ہز گریو اینڈ ہی کسڈ ہز بلیسڈ ہینڈ سچ اے اسٹیٹس ہی ہیڈ سچ اے اسٹیٹس ہی ہیڈ پیپل وش ٹو سی رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ان ڈریم ٹو ان ویژن بٹ ہی ان ویک فلنس اسٹیٹ آؤٹ آف دا گریو اٹس اے ہسٹوریکل ایونٹ وچ ہیپن وچ مینی پیپل وٹنس لائک سیدنا عبد القادر جیلانی Rahmullah was one of the witnesses that he went there and he said, Salaam alayka ya Rasulullah. And Rasulullah said, Wa alayka salam. He answered him. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I used to hear this even I was in Baghdad. I came here now to kiss your blessed hand. And in the presence of 1,000 people, Rasulullah's hand came out of the grave and he kissed the hand. And all the bus and the vicinity became filled with fragrance of the Prophet ﷺ hand. This was the high ranking one, Sayyid Ahmad Kabir. So I am now telling you his attitude. One of the scholars of his time, he wrote to him and said, you are imposter, you are a stray person, the person who is astray and imposter and deluded person and mean person, O sinner of the time, O one-eyed Dajjal, you are Dajjal. He wrote these titles for him. Usne likha unko ke aap ae kaane Dajjal, ae bedeen, ae mulhid, ae zindiq, ae haram ko halal janne wale, haram ko halal. Is tarah ke usne title likhe. He wrote these titles and wrote a letter to him. He used to criticize him very often. وہ تنقید کرتا ہے لیکن وہ مسلمان تھا سو سیدنا احمد کبیر رفائی لیکن ہمیں آپ کو کوئی کہے ایسے ہاں ہم ہیں بھی کیا پہلے ہی گند بھرا ہوا ہے ہمیں کوئی صرف تھوڑا سا سلام صحیح نہ کرے کوئی بات کہہ دے جواب دے دے तो क्या अब से दैट्स द एटीट्यूड कि भाई किसी पीर ने शेख बस्ती उनका नाम था पीर ने आलिम ने उनको ये लिखा कि काने ए दज्जाल ए जिंदीक ए मुलहिद इतने बुरे अल्काब इतने सईद अहमद कबीर रिफाई रोट बैक टू हिम व्हाट एवर यू हैव सेड इज द ट्रूथ इन माय ओपिनियन आपने फरमाया कि जो कुछ तुमने लिखा है वो सच है मैं इसी तरह अपने आप को पाता हूं एंड ही सेड प्लीज डोंट डिप्राइव मी ऑफ इन योर प्रेयर्स इन योर गुड प्रेयर्स फरमाया कि अपनी दुआओं से मुझे महरूम ना करना एंड ट्राई टू मेक लिटल स्पेस इन योर हार्ट फॉर मी एज वेल कि अपने दिल में थोड़ी मेरे लिए एंड ही रोट दिस इज फ्रॉम अनवर्थी लिटल अहमद हु इज नॉट अहमद इवन हु इज हुमैद हु इज लिटल अहमद टू द ग्रेट शेख ऑफ द टाइम सो ही रोट हिम अ ग्रेट टाइटल ही रोट बैक ग्रेट टाइटल टू हिम He wrote, you are Dajjal, you are astray, your aqidah is not right, you are astray and leading people astray, and you are this and that, etc. Accused him personally, and his response was actually that you, what you have said, in my opinion, I find myself in this state, you are truthful, but so then pray for me, don't deprive me of your prayers, and also actually, make some space in your heart for me as well. तो ये कहानियां बताने के लिए नहीं है हमारे आपके जो भाई कौन है आपके कौन है इक्वल योर फैमिली मेंबर्स योर ब्रदर्स इन कम्युनिटी योर ब्रदर्स इन इस्लाम योर ब्रदर्स इन तरीक हाउ एवर यू आर रिलेटेड ब्रदर्स इन बिजनेस वेन दे सो दिस इज द एटीट्यूड ऑफ दोज पीपल हु अंडरस्टैंड द स्टेटस ऑफ मुस्लिम and the behavior which they had. And people say how we should improve our behavior, that person is not nice. This is the way to do that. Like Sayyid Ahmad Kabir Rifai Rahmahullah did. And he was following his grandfather, the Imam Hassan, and his great-grandfather, Imam Hassan and Hussain, and also Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who, on personal note, he never actually took offense and revenge. And we say this, but I'm sorry to say this, people in the mosque committees, people in families, people in organizations, they are actually using inappropriate words for each other, even though one, the other one is not doing it and they are doing it. The teaching is that even people do, you respond goodly to them. If you're not personally actually responding or saying, otherwise, a person is not doing service to Islam or the Deen or the Tariq, but rather they are doing service to Shaitan and the devil. And their services to Deen will end up being zero, will be burnt out, like the Amal of Shaitan which were burnt out when he actually adopted behavior and accusative and allegative attitude towards Adam alayhi salam and said, I am from fire, he is from dust, the matter actually finished. So, if you want to bring these qualities in you, they will not come with listening, they will not come with reading. With listening and reading, motivation comes. But if you want to build these qualities in you, you have to follow some kind of system or course of self-purification and tazkiyah, and then you will see these qualities coming in you slowly, bit by bit, and these diamonds will be shining in you, and you will also become a beacon of light and guidance for others as well around you. So if you started, alhamdulillah, then be steadfast. If you not started, learn about it and start. If you lack motivation, attend the majalis and listen to the five discourses we do every week, or listen to other scholars, etc., etc., who speak on motivational and these matters, and your motivation, inshallah, you will achieve, and the laziness will go away. Don't end up being that person, yeah, I can't pray, I can't do zikr, well, etc., etc. It's not a news for you and or the other one. You already know it. The thing is to go after the solution. And the solution I've already mentioned, actually. So any person, and especially the new brothers who want to have a look at this course of tazkiyah, which can bring these beautiful qualities in you day by day, without any payment, without any fee, without any time consumption, or actually without any allegiance. These things are for after. You do whatever you like and wherever. But at least achieve tazkiyah, achieve purification and decoration with these qualities. Inshallah, this will benefit you.
So if there's any brother who wants...
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله